Broadcasting from USA Swimming's headquarters at the Carolyn Dirks Building in Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's time for Kick Set. Join three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel and U.S. National Team Director of Performance Matt Barbini as they host members from the USA swimming community, ranging from age group to Olympic levels of the sport.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Kick Set podcast. My name is Matt Barbini. I am the National Team Director of Performance at USA Swimming, and joining me live and in person
for the first time in a year,
sweet like, sweater.
I know, I'm
three-time Olympian Elizabeth Beisel for the first time in a year.
I know, it's been like last time we were on the red carpet at Golden Goggles. This time we're a little bit more intimate setting,
much more casual.
Yeah, a little bit more controlled. Like we look like ourselves.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the one thing about Golden Goggles. Like I love this event. It is so much fun. But it's honestly a subtle reminder of like how bad I look 364 days of the rest of the year because everybody's like, Beisel, you look so good. And I'm like, thanks. It just means it's really that bad.
Every time.
Right? Yeah. Like, you don't even get recognized.
No, you clean up nice. Like, was I not clean before?
Like, was it really that bad?
Was I
like, thanks. But our guest today is awesome. Like, Barbini and I have known about him for a while just because he's come up through the National Junior Team pipeline. But really had a breakout summer this year, and I'm going to let you do your thing and embarrass him. But
yeah, so we spoke to Jack Alexi to discuss his past season, a little bit about Golden Goggles, and then a lot about his world championship experience. He is nominated for 3 Golden Goggles. Yeah. At the end of the episode, you'll hear that I messed that up.
But that's 2, okay. We're letting the people know now.
I missed one of these 3. But Male Athlete of the Year, Breakout Performer of the Year, and Male Race of the Year for his 100 free, because he did medal in the 100 and the 50, so important to remember this is the 100 that he's nominated for. But probably, you know, along with a couple others, probably the breakout star of the season. And his insights about that are really interesting.
So, yeah, and just insights on, he was on an NBC photo shoot promoting Paris 2024, so really gave us the nitty gritty of to like what that looks like as a current athlete training, who's like pretending like he's going to Paris, but not. It's a really interesting conversation.
Yeah,
so,
great conversation, so we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, hope you guys
do too. Yeah. All right, Jack, well, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Welcome to LA. Is this your first Golden Goggles?
Yeah, first Golden Goggles, first time in LA.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So you did the NBC photo shoot yesterday. Tell us about that. What was that like? I mean, this has got to be brand new for you. So just tell us about the day.
Yeah, definitely. It was really brand new to me. Never done anything like that before. But really just an awesome experience. Really cool to see behind the scenes of not only just NBC, but also just kind of Universal Studios and just what that was all about, what that's like. And really just a good opportunity to meet a lot of people. A lot of people going into each different photo shoot, each different like video shoot and interview. So it was awesome to be a part of it.
Yeah, for you, for somebody that's kind of on the outside of the swimming world, they may not have known your name until this summer. Barbini and I, we're dialed in, so we know that you've run around. But you really did come onto the big international scene this summer. And it is a lot of firsts for you, like first world championship team, first big NBC shoot, first nomination at Golden Goggles, first Golden Goggles. Like, it's been a really amazing year for you. Mm-hmm. How are you kind of staying grounded in that, especially heading into an Olympic year?
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of new things that I've got to experience this past year. You know, it's kind of goes twofold. Like on one hand, like the summer, like this past summer was a great experience, great results, but it's in the past. Gotta have to put that behind me. Obviously, still have events like Golden Goggles and like the NBC shoot yesterday to recognize that and appreciate what I did and what Team USA accomplished this past summer, but also at the same time understand that was in the past. You know, that doesn't necessarily matter as much as the next 8 months ahead of us. And it was kind of weird because yesterday at the NBC shoot, they were like, everything was about, you know, preparing for the Olympics, preparing for Paris, and I don't think many of them realize that for swimming, like the selection process isn't finalized until June. So it is like on one hand it's very exciting and cool to be a part of it, but understand the job is not done necessarily at all. And still a lot to work on and improve on come June, and then hopefully in Paris.
Yeah, it is funny that the way those, you know, they're trying to prepare their coverage
right,
for what
yeah.
they're going to do.
That
so
makes sense.
Sort of the assumption is that all these people that they have targeted are going to make the team, but there mm-hmm. is always, you know, there's always fluctuation in that.
Yeah.
So last January, you guys were up at the OTC, and Matt Bau, who was your coach at the time, but is now the head coach of Michigan, and I were talking, and he was just like, kind of, you know, it's like the guys on the national team at Cal I already knew pretty well, but he was... Every time we would talk about, like, well, what does the season look like for you guys? He'd be like, so-and-so and so-and-so, and then Jack's going to make the team. So-and-so and so-and-so.
Yeah.
And he, like, was very much, like, believed that you were going to have a breakout last year. And then I watched that camp, and I was like, he's going to make the team.
Confirmed. You were right, yeah.
You just had a great camp there. So, and you progressed through NCAAs and all that. So how were you feeling going into Nationals, knowing that you had had a good season, had put in a lot of good work? Were you feeling like you were confident? Were you just trying to take it step by step? Like, what was your process going into that?
Yeah, I was feeling very confident, and definitely, I think there's a fine line between being confident and being overly confident slash, like, almost arrogant in a sense. I observed a lot this summer at Nationals, a lot of people coming in that have made past teams, and they kind of walk in and carry themselves like their spot is guaranteed. And I think a lot of people fell into that trap because there's a lot of newcomers that made the first international team this past summer. And I think that, yeah, there's the fine line between being confident and overly confident. You have to find, like, that right balance between, you know, carrying yourself with some, you know, poise and some, having some sort of presence on the pool deck, but also, you know, realizing that the process is still underway and nothing's guaranteed. And that you still have to execute on race day, and, you know, anything could happen. So, but I was feeling very confident going into the Nationals, and after NCAAs in March, had a great college season, and then the shift immediately focused to long course season after that, which, you know, I loved. And yeah, like, we just had a couple great TYR meets, got some good times thrown up there, and I... Honestly, like, I thought that my goal was just to make the team in general, whether it be, you know, winning or being sixth place and getting selected for a relay spot. So, and it was also awesome going into the first day, first prelim session, dropping a best time and getting the second seed, and just kind of reassured myself that I was supposed to be here, supposed to be in this spot, and just to take care of business at finals.
Yeah. You talk about having that balance of poise but confidence. For you, especially leading into trials in the Olympics, what makes you the most confident version of Jack Alexi, especially heading into a trials year like this?
Yeah, just doing the little details every single day, just preparing myself as much as I can physically and mentally when it comes to June 15th. Mm-hmm. And I just know that based off past processes, whether it be last March at NCAAs, last Nationals, last August and July in Japan, just how my process typically goes approaching during the training process, but also during the taper process when you're approaching the meet. Just putting in, like, the yardage and meters every single day, and carrying that mentality throughout practice every single day of what do I have to do in the next 2 hours in the water to move closer to achieving my goals that I have at the end of the season. So approaching every practice with that mentality, approaching every day, waking up and thinking, like, just how bad do you want to achieve this goal? Like, how bad do you want to win? How bad do you want to make the team? And just carrying that mindset, waking up, going to bed throughout practice, and just kind of letting that, feeling it in an emotion, not overwhelm you and consume you, but let it fuel you and drive me. And that's kind of how I found a lot of confidence leading up through my process to the meet, and then when it comes to race day, I know that I'll be confident, I'll be calm, and all there is left is to execute.
So going back to that 100 free at Nationals, the prelim was so fast. Everybody mm-hmm. qualified really fast, and then the final kind of turned into, like, a rock fight. Everybody pretty much went a little bit slower. Mm-hmm. Did you feel, like, a lot of nerves going into that final? Was the atmosphere, like, what do you think played into that just turning into kind of a race, as opposed to everybody just kind of, most times, especially in the U.S., like, we're pretty good at going faster at night. Sometimes when the lights crank up,
especially in a trial,
to do that. Yeah, especially on day one when nobody's made the team yet. Like, this is all.
Right.
So just take us through that. Couple minutes.
I mean, I can't speak for the other swimmers in that final, but for myself, I wasn't too nervous. I think every single race that I've done, you know, whenever I was, you know, a little kid to, you know, the finals at in Worlds, like, I was certain. I was had nerves. I was a little anxious. But I kind of found a way to use those nerves and anxiety to bottle it up and use that to harness some sort of energy towards that race. So I did that exactly for the 100 free and races, you know, prior and past to that. So mentally, I was in a good place. I was talking to my coach before that, and they told me that they believed I could win, and I believed that I could win that race. And it all just kind of came down to, like, just how bad it is. Like, it's just a race. Like, it's a sprint race. You know, I knew that I didn't need to have a perfect race to make the team or win. And that didn't happen at all. Not a perfect race at all. He said that the times were slower than the prelim session, and they was so close within each other that it really just came down to who wanted it more, and also just, you know, just pure chance and kind of pure luck that it happened. Because I think I won by, I think, 0.05 or something, which is nothing, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I'm truly grateful for that experience, because that opened up so many opportunities for me, and just glad it happened.
I'm sure it gave you a lot of confidence,
too,
especially, I mean, heading into Worlds, where you end up winning 5 medals, you medal in every event that you swim in. That's huge, especially as an international team rookie. Do you have a favorite medal or moment from the entire meet, or just the meet in general? Like, what sticks out to you?
A few favorite moments. I think, like, each race was really special to me, just because as the meet went on, I learned so many different things from, you know, the process from the warm up to the ready room, just walking out on deck, or walking out when you're getting called out for your name. Handling all that, you know, that pressure, that anxiety, and just taking in the whole scene in Fukuoka. But I think, you know, getting that silver medal in the 100 free was really special, just because I think that, like, prior, after nationals, like, maybe people thought that, you know, the men's U.S. sprinting was in trouble, or wasn't as fast as, you know, some other international countries' trials. And then after my semifinal swim, a lot of people doubted me, and they thought that, you know, that was just, I had a few good races, but can't handle pressure, can't handle all these things. And I knew deep down that wasn't the case, and I knew that I could do a lot better and I could medal in the 100 free. And when I did and saw the results, I was just like, all right, like, yeah, what else do you want me to say? Like,
come on, it was in the pudding, baby.
And, like, I say that now, and like, that I do look back on it, and, you know, I know that there is so much more in there to improve on, and I know I could have won that event. I just could have done little things better in that race to put myself in a better position. But that's what, you know, the next couple months are for, to improve on and work on. And also another favorite memory was the relay at the end with, you know, Murph, Dare, and Nick, myself.
Basically a Cal Bears relay.
And Nick did a great job, as always. You know, just having him and Murph there, just being those two veterans for our team and team captains, just being really reassuring from, you know, the warm-up process to the ready room. And just kind of, I've said this to people before, but, you know, when I was in that ready room looking around with other teams, and, like, having four guys that all medaled in their each hundredth of stroke, especially with, like, the caliber of, you know, Ryan Murphy, Nick Fink, and Dario Rose, I was like, all right, like, there should be no reason why we don't win this relay.
Yeah.
So I have had supreme confidence during that ready room process and walking on the pool deck, and just really had an opportunity to have fun with it and just enjoy my last race and debut race for Team USA.
So you mentioned the 100 free semi.
Yeah.
So take us through what happened. I mean, tough start.
Yeah.
And then hands came apart.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of weird, because, like, when I look at the video, my body goes in, like, really sideways. Mm-hmm. Like, my leg is kind of flopped to the side.
Yeah.
And my hands come apart underwater. And
yeah.
When that happened, I was just kind of like, oh,
crap, like, this is not good.
Yeah, like no bueno, yeah, like, this is not the time for this to happen.
But I kind of just rolled the punches and just keep going. Like, I had really had to fight that first 50 to get back and get back into the race, because usually I'm, you know, towards the front end of the pack, my first 50 when I'm going out.
Yeah.
So I was kind of panicking, a lot of adrenaline running through my body, just like, all right, you gotta get back. And then the last 25 really hurt, just because I used so much energy to get back that first 50 that I didn't have that extra energy and push the last 25 and 15 meters. I bet it showed too. So
I mean, watching it live in the room was just like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Because when that happens, like, most people overswim that next 30 meters to try to catch up, and it just is a train wreck at the very end. So to have finished it at all at 48.0, and then to get in, I know it was, I can't remember if you were in the first or second semi, but watching the...
I was in the first one,
right,
yeah.
So watching,
even more
watching
stressful,
the second
no.
one was just like,
no.
Wow.
I remember...
You're
I,
like, please,
yeah,
end, please.
Yeah, yeah.
I finished, and I was like, that's it, I blew it, like, I just blew my shot. And I was just so disappointed and upset, and I honestly couldn't believe it. And I got out, I walked around, like, past, like, the cameras, like, everyone's getting interviews. I'm just gonna walk. I'm so mad and get like walk.
You're like
by.
Blinders on.
Yeah.
Like, don't look at me. I'm not
and
talking to you.
I got to like the point, like the stairs, like off the deck, and I just stayed there to watch the second semifinals. And you know, the rest of the field, they went out and they flipped the turn, and like there was like 5-6 guys together. I like I don't know the exact time, but it was pretty fast for going out. And I was like, yeah, it's over. Like just it's over. Brace myself that you know it's over, and just kind of just like blew your shot and. They finished, and I couldn't believe it, but I made it by 0.02, and I was just like, I don't know how that happened, but like, thank you, like whatever just happened, I'm grateful for it, and just so fortunate that I was able to squeeze into that A final and just make it back. So.
I don't know if anybody told you this, but right after that race, Eddie Reese was walking around in the team area telling anybody that would listen. Like he,
no,
like
yeah, Eddie
like,
knew.
Once
like,
you got in, he was like, oh, now he's going to win.
I feel like everybody knows that about Jack. They're like, oh, this kid, he's making the team. Like, like when you, okay, so you like are watching the scoreboard, it shows that you're eighth. You mentioned it a little bit earlier about how people were kind of saying or alluding to, oh, like Jack can't handle the pressure. You getting eighth, did that almost like help you? Be like, no, I'm actually going to rise to this occasion like more than you think I'm capable of.
Yeah, I think... it's kind of one of those things where if I did a great semifinal swim and got first or second, I feel like I would have a lot of pressure to replicate that again, perform again.
Right.
So I think there is some sort of element to that. And, you know, there is some sort of comfort in people, you know, not expecting too much out of, you know, lane eight, you know, and barely making it in, just because, first of all, the competitors don't think about that, because they think, all right, like, he's out of the question, you know.
Yeah.
And I knew that, and that kind of benefited to me. And I knew, like, all right, they're not going to be looking for me, but I'll be coming, and they'll be looking for me. So I knew that, but they didn't know that. And it definitely gave me some sort of comfort and some sort of upper edge, and it allowed me not to put any pressure on myself, because there's nothing to lose. I'm already, you know, eighth seed going in. Can only go up from here. So just really went in there with some fuel and fire, and just say just something to prove myself with.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Did you feel like that, and then that whole, I mean, what happened in that semi is about the most stressful thing that can happen in a swim meet. Did you feel like that helped you in the 50 and then the subsequent races through the rest of the meet, that you were just like, it can't get any worse?
Kind of,
like that gut feeling, you're like, oh.
Yeah, kind of, and I remember, like, after that semifinal race, I went back to the warm-down pool, did a few starts, and I was talking back with my coach, Dave Marsh, was there for the Israel team, and he was talking to me about just putting that out of your mind. Don't want to think about that the rest of the meet, the rest of the races, and that sounds good in theory, but you know, I went back to the hotel and just couldn't stop thinking about it, and just I just had to like just go to bed, think about it, like waking up in the morning, think about it, like went over to the pool, did a few starts, and I just kind of tell myself, just like, put it in your head, just let it go, focus on tonight.
Yeah.
And, like, funny enough, I stepped on the blocks, and that's all I could think about. just hitting that start in the streamline.
Yeah.
And when I did dive in and the start was okay, I was like, all right, it seems like so silly because like that's like should be like the easiest part of the race and just to be on autopilot. Mm-hmm. And when that happened and that was okay, I kind of relax and execute my race plan.
That next rep is so hard after the one that doesn't go well.
Oh my god!
Yeah. And then after that, like the 50, like it was funny because after the 100 free finals, I was there late for getting drug tested and getting back. I had to eat dinner, recover, and just get ready for the next day. And I was just had so much energy just because, you know, so just happy and proud of myself and just of Team USA that I would just had so much adrenaline going through my head and my body, and I was up to like 3 a.m. just trying to calm myself down, just eat and just get to sleep. And then I had just kind of tell myself, just get through 50 free prelims. And you know, you have a few hours there where you can just settle, relax, kind of just look back on what happened and reflect, and then you know realize that the meet isn't over at all, and you still have a few more events to swim, and chances to you know just prove yourself.
It is incredible, like what adrenaline can do, and how like it can obviously keep you up at night, but it can also carry you through a meet. Like, I remember making my first Olympic team. I did not sleep that night, the next night, the following night, but like still had an incredible meet. And it's just like, I feel like people like you, Jack, and you're so dialed into your everyday swimming. The hay is in the barn when you get to the meet. So you're somebody where I don't think if you don't sleep at all during the meet, you're still gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Which is like awesome, but like obviously not ideal. But in this like fresh wave of, I feel like there is a fresh wave of men sprinters right now, and it's like so cool that you're leading the charge. And what does it feel like for you to kind of carry that torch right now at the moment?
Yeah, it's definitely a very cool feeling, and really it is an honor just because our U.S. sprinting has been such a high standard in past decades.
Yeah.
So it's an honor to carry the torch for now. I mean, I think that with the combination of the U.S. team we had last year, with some of the veterans trying to get back into it, I think that Team USA is in a great place, just not only for men's sprinting, but for all of the events. I think that, you know, we're kind of, feel like a lot of people are angry and pissed off just about how other people perceive U.S. Team USA's performance this past summer. And I think there's two sides of it. I think that, you know, people could be upset and look at past world championships, past Olympics, and see how dominant we are. But then you look at the roster and, you know, about half the roster was just rookies and newcomers. And I think that's really exciting just because there's so many new people coming in that, you know, have so much talent and they're there to prove themselves and them there to help Team USA. So I think that, you know, we're in a great place, just not only men's sprinting, but overall for this, you know, next couple of months in the summer.
I could hijack this entire conversation.
I know, I'm like,
from the summer where I'm like,
stay on course, Barbie Beast. Don't dive into that deep end.
It's just such a trigger for me.
Come at my people.
It is, especially from somebody that was there, it's like, this was the breakout season of your career. So then to have coverage of the team at large be sort of like, they weren't even good.
Yeah. So like prison.
You know,
and
just like that is lousy. But I think what you said about being able to like kind of set that aside and look ahead to 24 is the only way to approach it.
Right. Yeah.
And let them think that. Yeah. Oh, we're sending a horrible team to Paris, right? Like,
well, it's what happens in the US though. It's like, so, you know, the guy who's dominated U.S. sprinting for a while, Caleb, is not there, so somebody else steps up and wins a silver medal. Like, this is sort of what has made our team so good for so long.
100%.
That, like, that next person, like, there's an opportunity and somebody takes that opportunity.
Yeah.
And then, like, that just makes the team better.
Yeah.
There's no question.
at all. So we're done. We settled. We're going to be great. Everything's fine, everybody. Right. Social kick.
Yeah, we can do some social kick.
I love social kick.
All right, so social kick is just some questions that come from people that listen, so via Instagram or some other social media platforms. So we have 5.
Really hard questions.
These are really
hard. Yeah, hard. Yeah.
this one is, we usually try to say the name, but this just says random username. Why Cal?
Why Cal?
That's because Dave Durden.
Yeah,
he's like, right. He's like, I just scored. Coach Durden, yeah. 23.
So he doesn't have. I'll answer that question, but like Dave Durden, my coach, doesn't have any like social media at all. Like no Instagram, right. Like no.
His wife does though. Cal.
His wife does, yeah. Yeah, but, yeah. Like some guys on the team think that he has like a burner account that he uses. Because like I don't know, he just knows so much about what's going on in the swimming world and just what's going on.
Yeah. Well, that's why it says random user.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's Durden.
Yeah. But why Cal? So when I was going through my recruiting process and visits, early on, I established a great relationship with Dave just because he came out to visit. He was recruiting Destin Lasko, and that was, I think, my sophomore summer, and he just stopped by my practice just to watch my practice, and he, when, like, recruiting season, like, the recruiting time opened, I was just waiting for my call from Dave, and I was like, all right, like, when's he going to reach out to me? When's he going to, like, email me or text me? But, yeah, my first couple calls with him were really, really great, and really just talking about, you know, getting out there for a visit, and where that's gonna fall within my schedule and their schedule. I took a visit to Texas, UVA, and Georgia. All great visits, all great programs, schools, and then to Cal was my last visit about a month later after all my visits. And I went up there and, you know, immediately on just seeing how the team fosters people coming in, like newcomers and welcoming people with open arms, just not only the team members and teammates, but the coaching staff and the support staff that they have. And when I was there during the ring ceremony for 2019, I believe, and I remember having a bit of like a panic attack, thinking like, I really love Cal, but I also really love this other school. I don't know which I'm gonna choose.
Yeah.
And then I remember my flight back to New Jersey. Like I just realized like that Cal is just a place where I want to be.
Yeah.
And I remember telling my parents that they were sitting right next to me. And just realizing that and just having that feeling come naturally and just having that confident decision and choice in your mind, just a great feeling.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome seeing firsthand these past 2.5 years, seeing everything that I hope Cal will be and more, just great teammates and just lifelong friends that I've already made and will continue to keep for the rest of my life. So many great coaches that I've been in contact with, you know, Chase Kreitler, Matt Bowe, Matt Martinez, and they're all doing their own thing. Wisconsin for Matt, you know, Michigan for Matt, and Pitt for Chase, and you know, there's so many different coaches that I've crossed paths with, so many different swimmers and teammates I've crossed paths with, and you know, I think that there's a really special group in California, and I think that it's the best training group in the world, and I think there's no other coaching staff, no other teammates, and no other support staff that's truly like it.
Yeah.
And no team has alumni supported NCAAs like you.
Oh yeah.
No, oh, there's no team like
us.
Walk in, like coming down last day, NCAAs in the hotel, and you know, there's parents, alumni.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their bear suits, just like it's, you know, 7 a.m. and they're all amped up. And I feel like, all right, like we got this. Let's go. Yeah.
No, like I want to be on the Cal men's team. Yeah. I'm like,
and then like,
give me your bear suit. I'll cheer. I don't care.
From a game.
Yeah. I know.
And then like you go to like the pool deck and you're there before your race, and Minnesota is really special because there are seats on both sides of the pool.
Yeah.
And you look to one side and there's like the Cal parents up there, like the other side and the Cal alumni are up there.
Yeah.
And then you just like kind of just take in the energy, look to your left and right, and just so many people within that building, and with that, they're there to support you, they're behind you, behind every race. And beyond that, there are alumni and fans all across the country that support us, and just not having that feeling and seeing that in person is just, it's just such a good feeling, gives you so much confidence, because you're not just swimming for yourself, and it's everything is not on yourself, but you realize that you have this whole support network behind you. And I think that there's no other program that has that.
Yeah. Right.
You mentioned it a little bit. We'll get back to these questions in a sec. But the New Jersey pipeline to the 2023 Worlds team was
unreal.
Odd.
Yeah.
Like,
just like
the Jersey boys,
you,
baby.
Destin, Dare, there's another.
Two
Matt.
More, I think.
Yeah.
Matt Fallon.
Yeah.
Nick Fink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tepper.
You're six.
Henry McFadden.
Seven.
Wow.
So yeah, there was a lot. And there is kind of like a New Jersey pipeline and East Coast pipeline to Cal as well. So,
yeah.
You know, Destin, Dare, myself, Roman Jones, my brother Rob, you know, Reese, Matt Jensen, they were from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But
Everybody's so chasing the sun.
Yeah, we have a newest commit, Kenny Barnacle, from New Jersey. Mm-hmm. So I really hope that there's something going on between New Jersey and Cal. And so I hope that will stay open.
It's working.
Yeah,
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 it's working.
100%. We're like, yeah, keep it up.
Keep going.
All right, so this is from Leisha L. Were you nervous about filming at the NBC shoot yesterday?
A little bit, yeah. I've done like some Cal media stuff, but it's just kind of just sit there, do a couple poses, put the goggles in the cap, and it's just like it's a room like this, like not too big, and it's just like one camera set up at your face and just two lights next to you. But then you go to like the NBC Universal Studios, and it's just a whole other level, just because it's NBC and Universal, and it's just crazy to see that in motion. And I wasn't nervous for like getting the pictures, maybe for some of the interviews, because you know we did touch on a lot of swimming stuff, but also just a bunch of stuff outside of swimming, like you know my upbringing and so like social aspects and different aspects of my life. And I am comfortable talking about that, but it's the one thing to talk about it in front of you know four or five cameras and then 30 people that have like a tight timeline, and you have to do everything right at the same time and walk the right way and all this stuff. So I was a bit nervous, but also just having fun with it all really helped, and it was a really cool experience.
Yes. And then also knowing that like millions of people will likely watch that.
Yeah.
That's also nerve-wracking. Yeah. Like I don't want to go off.
You know that?
I know. But I found this difficult as an athlete because I've done the NBC shoot and I loved it, but it's also, at least it was for me, like really hard to answer so many questions about an Olympics, going back to what we were saying earlier, I don't even know if I'm going to.
Yeah.
And like it's in your face so much. Like, does that like mess with you at all? Do you kind of walk away from yesterday being like, done, compartmentalize that, not thinking about it? Like,
yeah, kind of like that. Like, yeah. You know, it was really, really special opportunity. Got a lot of cool photos and everything. But like you said, like asking like, what's your favorite thing you're gonna do in Paris? Like, I don't know. Like, it's hard to answer that when like you don't, when your spot isn't solidified and you don't know if you're gonna make the team yet. So it is tough trying to answer those questions. But you kind of just have to just answer them the best you can.
Yeah.
And as you said, they just put it behind you. Like, they recognize that it happened, but you know. Put it behind you, focus on what's ahead of you.
What did you say, like, eat cheese?
Like, I just said, like,
what's
in here? Like, eat the good food and just enjoy the culture there, like, in the history.
Yeah, fair
enough.
So. Great answer.
Yeah.
100%.
It's like nothing that can jinx it.
You're right, yeah.
Right.
Well, like, first day, I'm gonna
see the Eiffel Tower, I guess. Like, I had a whole itinerary planned.
Wear beret.
Yeah,
that, it is, it's just the nature of the beast that they have to do this stuff in advance, but it does feel so like, it's not like we're a basketball team where like we know who the center is going
right.
to be.
And I totally understand, because like they are asking questions for, you know, promos for, so it does make complete sense, I understand, and it makes sense that there are other sports that, you know, people know that they're going already and they've just been selected.
Yeah.
So, like they did a great job, you know, regardless, and right before the experience.
It's awesome. And for those of you that are listening, that are like, what are they talking about?
Yeah,
like NBC,
maybe a little background here.
Yeah, like it's basically like a summit where they bring in kind of the favorites, or what they think will be the people in Paris, and it's all the promos, like the commercials, like the Tokyo 2020 or Paris 2024. It's like what you see on NBC when you're watching it, and so they literally have to have the footage ahead of time. Totally get it, nature of the beast, but it's tough. So I admire like everybody that does it and can kind of walk away and be like, yep, that was that. Back to training.
No jinxes.
All
right, this is from Abby. What are some of your favorite sets?
Favorite sets. So I really like to do, well, not all the time, but I think my favorite and best sets are always like test sets. So, for example, this year we did a set where it was 30-50s best average on a minute 30.
I was there.
You do. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, do too fast.
I love that.
You do too fast, one off. I think some of like the middle distance and upper distance guys did all of them fast. Another great set we did was it was 200 from a blocks, 150 from a blocks, 100s from a blocks, 350s from a block. And now they're all in the like 8-9 minutes rest.
Warm down or no?
Yeah, warm down.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, those 8 minutes go like really quickly, and, you know, just sets like that, because even, like, some days, we've had, like, 8 or 9 of those, like, test sets on Tuesdays from, you know, October 1st till about now. And some of them go really well, some of them don't go really well. And, you know, that's just kind of how the training cycle is and how your body adapts to each week and each day. And I feel really great after, you know, a good test set, and when I do a great job, hit all my times and hit great details. And then sometimes I get, you know, really upset and just annoyed that, you know, I could have gone faster, could have done better, just because my body's just in a bad physical place and just really run down and fatigued at that time. But just kind of have to remind myself that even, like, I think during those, like, bad test sets or bad practices, if you're still improving, like, you kind of have to have those bad practices, you know, a certain amount of time to, you know, let your body adapt, let your, you know, improve and get that, you know, that progress line is not like a linear straight line from start of the season to end of the season. You know, right. You have these ups and downs where, you know, have great practices, great races, but also you have bad races, bad practices. And I think that's all part of the process and journey to, you know, having a great season and putting up some great times. So, and understand that, you know, even if you're not feeling 100% that day, you can still put 100% of your effort in that practice.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, realizing that you're not going to be hitting your fastest times today, but you can still hit all your details and put in your best effort you can.
Yeah. I was there for that 30-50 set. And I always feel, so, like, my job on a pool deck at a practice like that is to, like, provide technical feedback and provide video for anybody that doesn't know. So I was there with a GoPro, like, filming a little bit. And once it gets into the middle of those sets where it's just so hard, I feel like such a jerk where I'm like, all right, well, now we're going to look at how bad this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, like,
you know, where I'm just sticking the camera in somebody's face as they're, like, in this, like, miserable.
Like, kick them while they're down.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah, it's like, well, it hurts, and now you're going to see why.
Yeah.
That was very cool to watch you guys do that, because it's all 40 lanes or whatever you have there.
Yeah.
Going
pretty hard
at the same time.
Yeah, it was really fun. Another great set we did was just this past Friday afternoon. And it's been, like, pretty rainy the whole week in Berkeley, and it was pretty cloudy the whole Friday. And some of the guys, so there was, like, a 75s, 125s, and 175s. So I was in the 475s group, so I did 475s on 20 minutes. Tech suit, off the blocks, all out. And some guys did 125s, some guys did 175s. But we were all warmed up on our own. And then as soon, like, maybe like 20 minutes after we got in the water, it started pouring rain. So it's rain's pouring, and it's dark out, like, the music's going, and, like, it's just, like, it's really cool, just because, like, there's, like, 50, 60 people on deck, you know, all getting fired up and, like, feeding off the energy, and, like, all right, it's raining, like, let's go, let's do it anyway.
It's a mood,
like,
you know, I love it,
And just kind of have to, like, embrace that, give into it, like, it's cold, it's wet, like, music's going, just, you know, get up, go fast, because if you can go fast, like, in that environment, if it's rainy, cold, whatever, you can go fast in an indoor pool or outdoor pool when it's sunny or nice conditions. But that's one thing I like about Berkeley, is I don't think many groups or many training teams go through that, you know.
Right.
Kind of, you know, I know it sounds like kind of silly, but that no one really goes through, like, that different types of weather and training through that and going fast during that. And yeah, like, all of us, all of the men and women had great sets and great times during that practice, and it was just one of those practices where, you know, you're feeling good and you're firing and everything's, the energy's really high.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
Oh, I love walking away from practice.
It's like
sports
movie stuff when it's dark and raining. And
I know. The energy's just like, we're going,
like,
to battle.
Yeah.
You're warming down and, like, you're shouting across the pool, like, to the guys waiting to go.
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's go. Like,
man, I get chills.
Yeah.
That's when I miss swimming.
Yeah, right.
But then I think about it in
the corner.
It's a little bit different.
Because the energy lasts for the
Right. I'm like, ooh, never mind.
To the other end,
like, some of the test sets, like, would get set out in a group, like a group chat the night before.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of my buddies, his name's Sean Swift, he's an IMer, and, like, I'll be like, yeah, man, I got, like, I don't know, I got, like, 1075 small.
Yeah.
He's like, God damn it.
He's like, I got 10:04 a.m.
It's like I got 8:03 a.m. tomorrow. Like, I'm fast. I'm like, yeah, that sucks.
Like, okay.
And he's like, and mine are on 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And 75s are on 8. How's this fair?
Yeah. But
it
sounds like you still have some.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. There's some pent up
angst in there.
Angst inside of me.
All right. This is a non-swimming question from Shelby C. Who are your favorite sports teams?
Favorite sports teams? I'm not like a huge, I don't have like one specific like favorite team, but okay. I like the Warriors. They're fun to watch. Yeah. Like, I don't want to be like classified as like a bandwagon just because like they've been really good this past couple of years, but I don't know, they're fun to watch. Steph Curry's fun to watch. I like the Browns as well, the Browns football team. Just fun to watch. Like,
yeah.
I was a Jets fan a little while ago, but then kind of gave up on that. Just
Probably for the best.
Yeah.
It's a tough
life.
Sadly, I know.
Yeah. But, you know, just like watching, I don't watch a lot of sports in season, but I like watching like football playoffs and NBA playoffs. So.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Last one. This is from Soph L. What is your biggest motivation that has helped you succeed?
My biggest motivation is probably just the idea of self-improvement and being the best version that I possibly can, and that's in and out of the pool. So there's a man that he's an author, ex-Navy SEAL, and like ultra athlete named Dave Goggins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he, one of the things that he kind of preaches and talks about is being the best version of yourself and looking back on your life and not being haunted by the ghosts of your potential and just being, reaching your full potential in every aspect of life. So it's the kind of that idea of reaching your full potential and fulfilling your potential rather than falling short. And just not looking back and realizing that if you did, you know, if you put maybe like 10% more effort in or did the little things here or there every single day, you could have been, it could have made that much of a difference.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that, and that's just something that, you know, I live by every day and just try to maximize my potential every single day with every decision I can do. So.
Great. Well, Jack, thanks so much for being here. And good luck tonight. You're nominated for Male Athlete of the Year and Breakout Performer of the Year. So
awesome. Yeah, thanks so much.
Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
And the rest of the season. We'll see you down the road soon.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me.
Well, thanks again to Jack for being on. Really insightful conversation and really great perspective for somebody that's done this just once and really is going through the aftermath of a great summer for the first time.
Yeah, I think that was like the main takeaway, at least for me, was how in tune he is with his training, his mindset, like where he needs to be, knowing that like it's not a linear progression, like, and accepting that and not getting frustrated at practices that might not go his way, because that's like the reality of life, you know?
Yeah.
So it was, I'm leaving this conversation being like, oh, this kid is not only going to the Olympics next summer, but like he's on the podium for sure, if not on top of the podium.
Yeah, I mean, there's there is a lot looking ahead for him and a lot looking up for him, and you can see why he connects so well with Dave, his coach, because like the precision with which he talks about his races is very similar to the precision that his coach approaches it with, which is like you combine those two things plus the talent that he obviously has, and it's like the sky's the limit for this kid.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And it's beautiful to see. It's like I almost wish I had had some of that when I was swimming.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe you too, but it's just like, oh my gosh, this kid wants it so bad.
Yeah.
Nothing is getting in his way. Like he's going to do everything it takes. And what he was talking about with David Goggins and just like being the best version of yourself. I'm even listening to him say that and I'm like, yeah, I need to be the best version of myself too. Like, like it just applies to everybody. And it's for such a rookie, and he's not even that young, but like he's young.
Well, he's young and he's like, it's a, you know, for those of us that are older than that, it's like, I was not like that at that
at all.
You know, like not even close.
Just,
I had none of that perspective. I was not seeking outside resources to help me find motivation to go in the right directions, like none of that. So he is he's miles ahead of
he's somebody
of,
all of us
all of us and
great thanks Jack, making us feel good about ourselves
miles ahead of where I am right now
but at this point Golden Goggles has wrapped
you guys will know whether he won any of these awards. We do not yet, so but you will by the time this comes out. And then we have some social stuff we want to plug to you. Obviously, the USA Swimming channels, but then USA Swimming Foundation.
Finally has an Instagram.
So make sure to tune into that. And then we have the US Open coming up in like 10 days.
Yeah.
So make sure to follow all of our activity on there. And Basil, It's always a pleasure to do this in person.
Always a pleasure, Barbini. This is like a treat for us.
I did enjoy the red carpet. I also enjoy just being in a sweatshirt and sitting in
a chair. Yeah, and being like, looking like our haggard selves.
Right,
yeah.
Instead of like trying to like yell over the crowd to somebody that's 8 inches taller than me. Like, what do you think about your suit?
I know. Another reminder that I'm so tiny. Right.
In this world, I feel like I am too.
I know, and you forget about it when you're out of it. Like, for a moment, you come to these events and you're like, God, swimmers are really tall. And then there's you and me.
And then there's us. There's us. The hobbits.
I know. Like the little gremlins on the red carpet.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Rate, review, subscribe, and we'll see you next time.